listening to Rage Quit Recon with Nathan Starwalt and Dennis Lee.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of Things to Know Circle. We've got
Dennis,
Evan,
and me, Nathan. We're going to be talking about Cassius tonight. We're going to talk about P. Morvana, and we're going to talk about E. Morvana. And to throw in some solos and some units in there, we're going to talk about the Galesgrove, Darn Bloodtrackers and their UA, and the Pureblood Werewolf. So I guess we're just going to dive into it. Dennis, I would like to welcome back Dennis from China. I think this is the first podcast he's been on in like a month.
Oh yeah, it's been a really long time. I have no idea where I am right now or what time it is. It's awesome.
we're gonna start off talking with Cassius. When we originally did this, I was supposed to play Cassius, and I actually really enjoyed playing him. He was one of my more favorite casters that I had played. That was like kind of like a road less traveled caster.
I just think he's cool because he's controlled by a tree.
From a flavor perspective, he's awesome for that reason alone. I think because like if you look at his model, he actually has like roots and branches like reaching out through his. Through his cloak.
Right, and the tree branch is controlling his arms. Pretty cool.
So, to start off, he's speed 6. He's got Pathfinder, like almost every circle caster. He's got a PAL 12 weapon. His defensive stats aren't great. He's defense 14, armor 16, which is about the numbers that get you killed. And he does have 20 boxes, though. So yes, Cassius comes with Wormwood. And Wormwood's really kind of your liability with Cassius. Cassius himself has an ability called Black Roots. It's kind of like Black Penny, where you get to ignore the in melee bonus when firing into stuff, but it only works if the models are in Wormwood's command range. Cassius does have Tree Walker, which is something Thorn Ravagers have, where he gets +2 defense in a forest against melee attack rolls, and he can move through models as if they weren't there, if he could move completely past them. And then whenever he boxes something with his weapon, he puts a 3-inch forest into play, which I think is probably just a trap ability.
It is.
So I have never used that while playing Cassius.
That's not true. I've seen you use it before.
No, I fertilizered Crispy Striker 2 with the Wold Watcher.
You fertilized something with Cassius against me. And like when we played the Vengeance release event that no one came to,
did I?
Yeah,
with Cassius.
Yeah,
no, I was casting the World Watchers Animus a bunch.
Cassius moved up and fertilized somebody, but
I would stop using that phrase fertilizing things.
That's the name of the ability. It's not our fault.
We fertilize. I fertilize what I want. All right, so Cassius has got 4 spells. He's got Curse of Shadows, which is a pretty awesome spell. It gives a unit -2 armor, and they cannot make free strikes. And a model can advance through them if it has enough movement to move completely past them. You can use that spell to, like, if they're trying to use something as a tar pit, you can cast that on them and just move your guys past them.
Trolls are sad.
That spell's great for cracking armor.
It's really good for cracking armor too. It's a Swiss Army knife, but it's probably best used to crack armor in my opinion. He's got Hellmouth. Hellmouth costs 4, which is pretty expensive.
It's amazing.
But this spell is ridiculous. It says if the attack misses, nothing happens. If it hits before making the damage roll, you push models within 3 inches of the model, hit 3 inches directly towards in the order you choose, then center a 3-inch AoE on the model hit. Models hit suffer a PAL 12 damage roll. Models boxed by Hellmouth are removed from play. Now that's important because the RFP feature means that you won't actually get souls from Wormwood if you hit with a spell. But it's really useful for just clearing out groups of infantry.
It's great against Kricks.
It's really good against Kricks. He's got Stranglehold as a spell, and Stranglehold's a PAL 11, kind of a dorky nuke, but a model hit damaged by Stranglehold forfeits either its movement or action during the next activation as the controller chooses. And then finally, he's got Unseen Path, and this is kind of the get-out-of-jail-free card. It costs 2, and in the range is control. Unseen Path can only be cast while Wormwood Tree of Fate is in this model's control area. While Unseen Path is cast, immediately place this model within 2 inches of Wormwood, replace Wormwood within 2 inches of this model. The model cannot advance this turn after being placed by Unseen Path. And before I get to his feet, I'm going to run down Wormwood. Wormwood is just a tree. It's speed 0, it's immobile. It's defense 5, it's armor 16, it's got a command of 10. Its command's actually important. The tree will actually gain one soul token for every living model destroyed in its command range, and it can have up to 5 soul tokens. And if it's within Cassius's control area at the start of his activation, Cassius could pull all of the soul tokens off of it to put one fury, and this actually lets him go above his 6. So Cassius can have up to 11 fury because of the tree. It's got the companion Cassius ability. All that means is if Cassius die, the tree leaves play. It very rarely matters. You'd have to be playing multiple casters before that to come into play. The tree does get +1 armor for each soul token that's on it. It's immobile, so that's actually important for scenario play because immobile models cannot control objectives. And it has prowl, so if it's within a forest, it gains stealth. Or AoE, so like if you're using something like the Swamp Gobbers, you can give it stealth. And then finally, the tree has no hitboxes, but it's got an ability called Sympathetic Link. When this model would suffer damage, you must assign that damage to Cassius the Oathkeeper. This model does not suffer the damage assigned to Cassius. This damage can be transferred. So, that's Cassius. So, Cassius's feat says, Wormwood Tree of Fate's command range becomes a forest. Enemy models that are knocked down one is command range suffer 1 point of damage. And it lasts for 1 round.
So that really sucks for people with tough.
Correct. Now, like, if you're listening to this podcast, you're like, man, Cassius sounds really awful to play against. Just play Legion. Stuff with Eyeless Sight lets you kind of just ignore the whole forest thing. You just kind of shoot the tree exactly where it is. That's kind of like the cheating response, in my opinion. There are plenty of other ways to shoot the tree. Like Mage Hunter Strike Force can shoot the tree, but if the tree gets enough armor on it from souls and whatnot, you can't actually damage the tree with, like, PAL 10s. This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
It depends on positioning. Like, the tree really likes the shifting stones. Because you can shift, like, turn 1, you can teleport the tree 8 inches up, and then you can unseen path Cassius to the tree. And then Cassius is further up than he normally would be. He still can cast all of his spells. Depending on where the tree... Like, if you're going second, you're probably going to pop the feed on turn 1 to not get shot. And you're going to want to try to crowd your dudes near the tree, like your living dudes... The tree gets souls from anything that dies near it, so like blood trackers are really good, wolves or boros are really good, because both of those kind of just end up dying in droves.
Cassius is really good with Pharaoh.
Yeah.
You run him with 2 units of slaughter hazards, you run him with bone grinders. Bone grinders are the cheapest souls that Circle have access to.
Or Swamp Gobbers. Swamp Gobbers is only a point when you get...
Well, bone grinders help with his range, because they have craft talisman. And
yeah.
Slaughterhousers, with that, you know, can with Curse of Shadows and Slaughterhousers, he can just murder stuff.
Yeah.
A big trick with him is when you port a shifting stone into a unit, and then you Hellmouth the shifting stone.
Yes. Since he ignores the in melee bonus, he needs to roll not snakes to hit the shifting stone. Yeah. And since it's only a PAL 12, your shifting stone is more than likely going to live.
Oh, I mean, it's armor 18.
So, yeah, It's really super devastating. And the thing about Hellmouth is it moves models. You can set up like charge lanes that your opponent wasn't prepared for necessarily.
Right. Well, the other thing with Unseen Path is that you can leave your tree where in a backup position, like, and then you can put Cassius in harm's way to cast spells and then just shoot him somewhere else. Yeah,
you could do tricks with shifting stones and teleport Cassius far away,
right?
And then unseen path back.
Yeah,
right. And you can do scenario as well. I mean, leave the tree if you have a split scenario. Leave the tree in one scenario and leave Cassius on the other side.
Cassius does have a pretty small fury pool.
Yes. So, I mean, yeah. If he does not have souls, and the thing is, Hellmouth costs 4, which is more than half his stack.
Oh yeah.
And if you're trying to like boost and to hit and stuff like that, like you don't get very many Hellmouths before you run out of fury.
Yeah.
So, Cassius is actually really good with Wold Wardens. He's one of the few casters that I would take a Wold Warden with quite regularly, because Wold Warden's got Geomancy. which lets you stranglehold other heavies. The thing is, the Bolt Warden is kind of pillow fisted overall, and when you get to shoot another heavy, boost the damage so that you damage it and make sure it loses its movement or activation. You know, you can kind of lock a heavy out of the game with that.
Yeah,
that's really nice.
The Woad Wrath isn't bad with him because of the auto knockdown on his fists.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the knockdown on his feet. I have very rarely played Cassius. I don't think I ever have, honestly, have played Cassius and had the knockdown on his feet matter. I use the 20-inch forest or whatever,
you can,
basically as a kind of like a screen for the army.
You have to kind of build for it.
Yeah,
and if you build for it, it can be a nice added benefit.
But yeah, I could definitely see a Woad Wrath with him, because the Animus gives you boosted magic attacks.
The Animus is nice. The knockdown is nice.
Yeah,
it does a lot.
It's the boosted attacks will help you trigger the crit knockdowns on like Blackclad Wayfarer,
yep.
The Stonekeeper, all the guys that have, or the Force Bolt from the Druids.
It also gives him a really nice big thing to hide behind.
Yes, yeah, and that's the trick with the tree is if any heavy gets to the tree, you're going to lose the game,
right?
Because they're going to auto hit the tree.
It's so, like playing Witch Coven.
That's what sucks about Legion.
Yeah. You just don't drop caches against Legion. If you drop caches against Legion, you're going to lose.
You're asking to lose.
Just probably don't. Not against Red.
It's not even. It's not really much of an uphill battle. You're like starting in a hole at the bottom of the hill without a ladder.
Yeah. I mean, like, and like, even if the tree's just on fire, I mean, you're going to die from that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just Ravagore the tree.
It's just going
to
burn.
Now, like, granted, like, Scorn also has access to Out of Sight with the Extiller Soul Award.
They do, but they don't have such. They don't have all the Pathfinder.
Correct, right. And they don't put your dude on fire necessarily.
Yeah.
So. Another model that actually helps Cassius with his spell casting is the Gallows Grove, and this helps every Circle caster.
More trees.
Yes, more trees. We should have done this on Arbor Day or whatever. Should have done this podcast.
That'd be awesome.
So the Gallows Grove, once again, it's got it's immobile.
They have prowl.
They do have prowl.
That's so weird. Shooting at a tree in a forest.
Their armor 16. They've got a command 3. Their command is actually important too. They've got 5 boxes that cost 1 point, and you can actually field up to 4 of these things, which is it's kind of a weird number. I don't
Plus,
know.
If you model them correctly, people will think they're terrain and they'll ignore them.
Like, that's why I do it. Mine actually have leaf flock in the upper branches. I don't know how many times people have been like, oh wait, that's a model, not a tree in a forest, because I like to put them in the forest so they get stealth. People forget that they're an actual, you know, thing.
So,
Crispy being one of those people.
So one of the key abilities that the Gallows Grove has, it has Channeler, friendly faction warlock. While this model is not engaged and is in a friendly warlock's control area, the warlock can channel spells through it, so it's an arc node. It's got entropic force. While in this model's command range, enemy models lose tough and cannot heal or be healed. This ability is amazing.
Yeah.
It's got a mobile and prowl that we've covered already, and then strange growth. Once per turn during its activation, place this model anywhere within 5 inches of its current location. This model cannot be placed except as a result of strange growth. So do not try to teleport your Gallows Grove. You can't do it.
That is cheating.
It would still be awesome.
It does have AD, though, so that helps.
It does have advanced deployment. And so the Gallows Grove, I mean, it's 1 point, and it's 1 point really well spent in Circle.
It is. I mean, you're going to take at least one pretty much with every Circle caster. They're pretty much auto-include with all three of the casters we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah. It will get prowl when you pop Cassius's feet. It lets you cast stuff like Hellmouth and not be in harm's way. Hellmouth's only got a range of 8. It shuts off tough, which can't be understated.
Oh, no, not at all. I like to teleport them behind, especially when I play against trolls, teleport them behind the behind the troll line, so they're just kind of back there radiating the no tough, and it's a nice thing to do. And since they look like terrain, they often get ignored.
So, which is funny. I mean, our tip against playing against Galsgroves is don't ignore them.
Kill them. Quickly.
You kill them. It's like shifting stones. They're immobile, so you get a free hit on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're trolls, most of you have axes. So, yeah, get that tree.
The natural enemy.
The natural enemy of the Galsgrove, the axe.
I should point out that the Galsgrove is a living model, so Cassius gets a soul when it dies near him. And yep. If you're
trees,
if you're,
have souls.
If you're Crix, you get a soul when you kill this.
The fact of this living model will be really important later when we talk about Epic Morvana.
So, Galsgrove, it's one point. It's really worth the investment in your lists. We're gonna talk about P Morvana next.
She's my girl.
She is speed 6. She's got 15 defense, 13 armor, which will get you killed. She's got.
Oh, she can transfer though.
She's got. she's got Pathfinder. She's got Reach and a magic weapon and Equinox. It's Pal 12. She's got 15 boxes and she's Fury 7. She's on the squishy side.
She is the squishy side.
And
she's got the life volcano.
The one of the things that she
That's not an appropriate comment.
Yes, it is. When are we ever appropriate on this show?
Fair enough. Fertilizing and now life volcanoes.
So,
are you gonna fertilize the life volcano?
Heyo! When this model is directly hit by an enemy, she's got Sacpon faction warrior. So, when this model is directly hit by an enemy range attack, you can choose to have one friendly, non-incorporeal faction warrior model within 3 inches of this model directly hit instead. That model is automatically hit and suffers all damage of the effects. So, this is actually one of the tricks with her is to keep shifting stones near her, and you just sackpawn off all of the gunshots onto the shifting stones because they're armor 18 and they can take
it.
So, her weapon has an interesting ability. It says an enemy model damaged by this weapon suffers harrow for one round. Once per turn, this model can transfer damage from enemy attack to an enemy model with harrow. So this is a trap ability. However,
it is not. I have used that to hilarity.
However, don't get got by this ability because you will get got.
I played a game against Carver. Carver came up. I had hit Carver with Equinox. All I had left on the board was P. Morvana and I think like a few blood trackers. Carver charges in, hits me. I transfer the damage from Carver's charge attack. The damage is enough to kill Carver, and the overflow from the transfer killed P. Morvana. But since Carver died first, I won. It was
That's
the perfect
awesome.
Karmic strike.
All right, so she's got five spells. She's got Eruption of Life, which is a PAL 13 nuke. It's range 10. It costs 3. And if it destroys a living or undead model, which is a rarity because most of the time, spells won't you destroy just a living model. You center a 3-inch AoE on the destroyed model before moving it from the table. The AoE is a forest terrain that remains in play for one round. Enemy models in the AoE when it's put into play are hit and suffer an unboostable PAL 13 blast damage roll. So this ability right here just totally shreds infantry. She has Harvest, which is an upkeep spell. It costs 3. Its range is self. Its AoE is control, and when a living or undead enemy model is destroyed in this model's control area, this model can gain 1 fury point. This model's fury points cannot exceed its fury as a result of harvest. This spell is absolutely bonkers.
Yep.
She also has influence, which is a cost 1. It's range 10. It says take control of a target enemy non-warcaster, non-warlock, warrior model. The model immediately makes one normal melee attack that influence expires. So yes, when you used Harvest and Influence, and you influence their dude to kill one of their other dudes, you get your 1 fury back.
All day, baby.
It's insane. It's absolutely bonkers. She has Regrowth, which is an absolutely silly ability. It costs 4. Its range is 6. Target friendly living faction small-based unit. During the control phase, this model can spend 1 or more fury points. For each fury point spent, return 1 destroyed grunt to the unit. It must be placed in this model's control area in formation within 3 inches of another model in its unit. The grunt is returned with 1 unmarked damage box. So, you put this on a unit of dudes, and your opponent is going to be fighting those dudes for the whole game.
That spell goes on blood trackers.
You yes, gotta it, kill the whole unit.
You gotta kill the entire unit. And so the last spell that she has is Restoration. Target friendly faction model or unit gets +2 armor. When this spell's upkept, this model heals 1 damage point for each friendly model affected by Restoration within 1 inches of the model. So when I was telling you earlier about camping shifting stones near P. Morvana, you put Restoration on the shifting stones, they go to armor 20, and then she heals damage. Morvana's like one of the few horde casters in the game, I think, that can actually run like beast light. Like,
she doesn't need beast at all.
Yeah, you can there's some situations in hordes where all your beasts are dead and you're like, oh crap, how am I going to generate fury? She can actually get fury without any beasts.
Yeah, the way she plays is unique. There's really no other
Hordescaster. Yeah.
Hordescaster that plays like that, because she doesn't need her beasts. Her beasts are dead, she doesn't really care.
So, when I played P. Morvana, it's been a minute since I've played, but when I played her, I would use regrowth I would spend all of my focus every turn during my control phase to regrow everything back in the unit. Then that unit would activate, kill dudes, and then give fury back to Morvana with Harvest. And then Morvana activates. Then she goes and kills like a bajillion dudes, getting all of her fury back. Or like you just cast spells until she's out of fury. Then you go activate some other stuff in her list. It goes, it kills stuff. Morvana's like full on fury for the next turn.
Yeah, order of activation is really important with her, and is kind of a delicate balancing act. But once you figure it out, you can really make her sing.
Yeah, and she can do some absurdly powerful things. We forgot to mention her feat. So when a friendly faction model destroys a living or undead enemy model with a melee attack on Morvana's control area this turn, center a 3-inch AoE on the destroyed model and remove that model from play. The AoE is a forest terrain that remains in play for one round. Enemy models in the AoE when it's put into play are hit and suffer an unboostable PAL 13 blast damage roll. Things get silly with that
fight. Oh yeah, pretty like, you just can delete entire units off the board.
Like you charge in there, you charge in, you explode a bunch of dudes, and then you put like a whole bunch of you just put an entire forest between you and the enemy.
Yep.
So this is another one of those things where like Legion is like, okay, now I don't care about this forest, but a lot of other factions are like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Why do I have 3 inches of forest between me and everything?
I can't do anything now.
So, and she removes stuff from play with this feat too, which is really useful. Really useful against Kricks. Really useful.
She has tons of RFB.
She's really good in the mirror match.
Yep.
So, she has a lot of tricks. Now, like the secret to beating Morvana is upkeep hate, because if you snipe the with Eris, if you knock off regrowth off the blood trackers, then you don't get to upkeep it and you don't get to bring those guys back.
Yeah, I mean, you don't drop her against, if you're in a steamroller situation, you look at that across their two lists and either of their casters they have purification, don't drop P. Morvana.
Yeah, that's just don't. It's a liability.
You're just gonna, it's, she needs her upkeeps.
Yeah, oh yeah.
A little bit of upkeep hate you can deal with, because you can probably keep Harvest still going and things like that. But if they have Purification, you're pretty much have already lost. She needs those upkeeps.
She gets, I mean, the thing is, like, outside of her spells, her offensive potential by herself is pretty low. While you can play her without Beast, I don't recommend it. You still want something like a Stalker.
You need
something that's going to hit really, really hard.
Really, her with a Woad Wrath and a Woad Watcher. So you have the shield guard, which is a little extra. I mean, she does have the sack bomb, but every little bit helps. And the Animus, the boosted magic rolls.
Is huge for influence.
With her and Harvest and Influence, you can just keep going and going and going and going and going.
So we've talked about the blood trackers like a whole bunch. So I guess we'll go ahead and cover them now. The blood trackers are a 5-8 unit.
I hate blood trackers.
They are field allowance 1, they are speed 7, they are mat and rat 6, they are defense 14, they are armor 11, they are command 8, they have advanced deploy, they have pathfinder, they've got stealth, they've got PAL 3, which is really misleading because there's actually PAL 9 weapons. They're only range 7, but they are weapon masters on the throw, which is pretty huge. And they have PAL 9 melee weapons. The thing that makes the blood trackers so brutal is that they have prey. So when they're fighting against their prey, they get plus 2 to hit and damage rolls against the prey. And if they start within 10 inches of the prey, they get plus 2 inches of movement, which makes them extremely, extremely mobile if they're close enough to their prey. They have a UA called Nuala the Huntress. She's speed 7. She's mat 8 and rat 7, so against her prey, she goes to mat 10, which is pretty huge. She's got the same defensive stats. She's an officer. She's got the same PAL on the weapons. And she while she's alive, she gives the unit reform, which is the 3 inches of movement after they completed their actions. And she has the tactics quick work, so she gives the entire unit the ability to make a ranged attack after they destroy an enemy model with a melee attack. So this unit is actually, like, when I first started playing Circle, I started doing way better when I started playing this unit. So if you're playing Circle right now and you're not playing Blood Trackers, start playing Blood Trackers.
Go buy Blood Trackers.
Go buy Blood Trackers. I don't want to say they're an auto-clued in every list, because Nuala is a character that actually makes it so that in a tournament kind of setting, if you've got 2 or 3 lists, you can't put her in every single list. But Blood Trackers by themselves are just fine without Nuala.
Another thing that with related to P. Morvana and Blood Trackers in general is the minion solo, the Gatorman Witch Doctor, because it makes them tough and undead, which makes them even harder to remove.
Yeah, and then the undead's actually really important, because I can't tell how many stupid command checks I fill with Blood Trackers.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to worry about command checks.
Nuala is only command 9, and she's like a priority target because she gives the whole unit reform.
It also stops, like, snacking.
Yes. Yes, it does, because they're not living anymore.
Yeah.
The Croc Doc is pretty amazing with Blood Trackers.
Yeah.
The Blood Trackers are just, like, they hit really, really hard. Like, if you curse a shadow or something, and then you just, and it's your prey, and you dump POW 11 thrown weapon master attacks into your target, you're going to scrap it.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times. I mean, they're great. They're
really solid. You just have to watch out for blast damage. But if you play Balder, it doesn't really matter, because he can remove blast damage. From
yeah, we talked about P. Balder a little bit last week, but P. Balder's got 2 spells that really, really help them. The solid ground makes them immune to blast damage, and if you, since they add their strength to the power of their thrown weapon, the stone skin spell gives them plus 2 damage on their throw abilities. Now it gives them minus 1 speed, so they can't charge, but they go to PAL 13 weapon masters against their prey target, which is just pretty
insane.
It's pretty silly for ranged attacks.
If you want to kill them, run gun mages. Gun mages delete them off the board.
Anything that ignores stealth, and bile thralls are just like, yeah. I can't tell how many units of blood trackers I've had wiped off the board.
Bile thralls, gun mages,
That ignores stealth.
Yeah,
stuff that hits like anything that auto hits.
Yeah.
Chain lightning, really good against blood trackers, because you don't even have to like hit the blood trackers. You just run something in front. That's
you hit
immune.
The tree,
and even if you have optimal spacing, the chain lightning sucks still.
Yeah. So. And unless they are playing P-Ball, they're pretty weak to blast damage, because they're only armor 11.
Just drift some blasts on them.
It's the same thing with, like, Mage Hunter Strike Force. Anything that's good against the Mage Hunter Strike Force is going to be pretty good against the Blood Trackers.
Yeah.
Without a clever segue, we're going to move on to Morvana the Dawn Shadow, which is Epic Morvana.
Goatvana.
Yeah, a lot of people call her Goatvana. She is speed 8 now. She is mat 6. She's defense and armor 15. She's got Pathfinder.
She rides side saddle.
She still has Equinox, but now she's got a mount attack. She's got 16 health now instead of 16 health instead of the 15. And she has a whole bunch of abilities. She's got Imperishable Conviction. When a friendly faction model and its control area is destroyed by an enemy attack, this model heals 1 damage point. She has Scales of Fate, which is probably the thing that makes her really busted. When a friendly faction model makes an attack or damage roll, its activation while in this model's control area, this model can suffer D3 damage points to cause that model to re-roll that roll. Each roll can only be rolled once due to Scales of Fate. She has Life Trader on Equinox now, so when an attack with this weapon hits, you can suffer 1 damage point to gain an additional damage die. And it can only be used once per attack. So since it's an additional die, you can still boost on top of the life trader damage. And her mount has ram, so when you hit an enemy model with this weapon, it's knocked down. It can be pushed 1 inch directly away from this model. If it is pushed, this model can immediately advance directly towards the pushed model up to the distance that it was moved. It's the ability that the World Guardians have. This is the goat knocking you over with its head. Her spell list is phenomenal. She's got Carnivore, which is just a friendly buff. It's an upkeep. It says target friendly model or unit gains +2 to melee damage rolls against living models. When an infected model boxes a living model with a melee attack, the box model is removed from play, and this model heals D3 damage points. She's got Death Knell.
Wait, so this model meaning correct. The target model or this, meaning Morvana?
This model means Morvana.
So that helps a lot with her killing herself.
It
for
will
all the
offset
other stuff.
Scales, yeah.
Yeah, her health yo-yos.
Yeah, you probably, like, instead of using, like, dry erase marker, you need, like, an abacus. Just moving stuff back and forth constantly with her. She's got Death Knell, which is a 4-cost nuke. It's range 8, it's AoE 4, PAL 10. Before dealing damage, count the number of models in the AoE. Add the result to each Death Knell damage roll. So that works on the blast damage, too. Because its PAL is pretty low. You look at PAL 10, you're like, ah, that's pretty bad. But AoE 4, you end up catching more dudes in it than you think you will. And if you catch, like, 5 dudes in it, the blast damage at that point is 10. So, like, even if your guys are sitting on, like, armor 15 or so, you'll put a hurt on them. So this spell right here, I think I got to preface. This is, like, the dumbest thing that they ever put on a Circle Caster. She's got Fog of War, which costs 3, it's range self, AoE control. Models gain concealment when this model's control area. It's, I mean, how long is that sentence? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words. 10 words that is like everything you want for a spell to do for Circle. So, while your models are in her control area, they gain concealment. So, all of your dudes with Prowl, which is like half the damn faction, they've all got stealth now. Like, the Galesgrove is covered. You can just put the Galesgrove wherever. It's got stealth. Your stupid stalkers have stealth. You just warp up Prowl. Totally fine. It's so stupid. It's so crazy. I don't know why they put that on her. Anyway, she's got Purification Hay, which is really good against P. Morvana. Continuous effects, Animi, and upkeep spells in the smallest control area immediately expire. And her dorky nuke is the Sunder Spirit.
That is a legitimate thing.
It's actually pretty good against, like, Mulg.
It kills casters. Sunder Spirit Assassination is real and legitimate thing.
So it's a cost 2, it's PAL 12, and enemy warbeast damaged by Sunder Spirit loses its animus for 1 round. You do have to watch out for it, because with the rerolls that she gets from Scales of Fate... like, if she's boosting damage and she rolls, like, a 6, you're like, oh, well, I'll just reroll that.
Well, it's not just that. It's what you can do with it in combination with her feet.
Yes. So, her feet, and this is what makes her absolutely bonkers. Like, if you weren't in love with her from, like, all the stuff that I mentioned already, her feet says, Morvana immediately suffers 1 or more damage points. This damage cannot be transferred. For each damage point she suffers, return 1 destroyed, non-character living, friendly faction warrior model to play, complete within her control area. Place return troopers in return trooper models in formation with their original units. Units cannot exceed the number of models they had at the start of the game as a result of blood sacrifice. Return models forfeit their actions they return the turn they return to play. So that means, like,
she can return a full unit and
as long as the
unit's
not completely destroyed.
Right, a full unit and a min unit, basically. She can return 15.
Yes. Yeah. Now, having playtested her, I don't recommend taking 15 damage all at the same time, or at least don't put her in a position where she will die. But yeah, you can, like, so, like, your opponent gets the Alpha Strike off on you, And you're like, oh man, that really sucked because he just wiped out, I don't know, looks like 13 dudes he killed. Guess what? You feet and they're all back. You tell your opponent to do it again.
She's then you the, just carnivore and yeah. get all your health back.
Well, she's a premier attrition caster. There's a few tricks. Like the feat says they can't activate, but there are a couple things that get around that. Tharn Blood Pact can still take their assault and battery shots. That has been Infernal ruled on. They can still, you can feat them back and they can assault and battery. Warwolves can make Sikkim charges. You Reaves with her, because with Fog of War and with the Reave Hunter, Reaves actually become good. They become Defense 17, the Scales yes. of Fate. And now with the Moonhound, they can you can legitimately run a solid gun line. And you can feat back those Warwolves anywhere in her control range. You can feat them back in the back arc of their caster. Fire off one, you land one Reave shot, and all three of those Warwolves you feed it back can Sikkim charge them in the butt.
Yeah, Gallows outside of activation.
Gallows Groves, you can feat them back behind their caster and starts under spiriting, and that's
and like you can and since the command range on Gallows Groves is three, you can feat them back exactly where you need them to be.
Yep.
To turn off every single tough that you need.
Yep.
Right.
And then it's just oh man, it is wheat before the scythe.
Yeah, there's nothing you can really do about it besides insulate your caster with people.
Yeah, the so it's she, and the important thing about her is that she's light cav. So what you could do is you can move her feet and then light cav away.
Yep.
And just get your dudes the positioning you need, and then put her out of harm's way.
She's great.
She's so stupid. I could like when I remember reading Gargantuans. And like losing my goddamn mind.
Well, she's epic Haley good.
Yeah, yeah.
She's that level of like, oh my god.
Right. She's pretty. I still think Asphyxius 2 is better than her.
I disagree.
But
she can do with her RFP and with her ability to tailor place back full health medium based infantry. You know, and her ability to just drop things in, like just scalpel them in where exactly she wants them. I would say she's better than.
It's a bold claim. I'm not gonna put my name on that.
That's fine. You can take the safe route.
I'll take the safe route. But yeah, she is insane. She's so crazy good. What do you do against her? I don't know.
RFP.
RFP is really good against her. Yeah. Snacking.
Catch her.
Yes.
If you can catch her, like, if you can force her to feet and get her low and get to her without killing other people, like, if you can just get to her, you can kill her. She's not hard to kill.
No. She's only 15-15.
Yeah, I mean, she's not hard to kill. Her health yo-yos all over the place.
So when I played her, I was playing her with druids. Because I would just pop smoke in front of her, even though she's got concealment, I would put the smoke clouds around her just so that she just couldn't get shot at.
Problem is you're kind of boxing yourself in somewhat. I like her with Reaves, with the Reave kit, with the full Reaves,
and triple Warwolves
with the Warwolves, with the Reave Hunter, with a Road Watcher for the Shield Guard. She is steady, so you can't knock her down. Which is nice.
Well, if you take the World Watcher.
No, she's just steady.
No, she's not.
She's not. She's not steady.
No.
Okay, never mind.
Not all I think the original batch of cavalry casters.
We're all steady.
We're all steady. Like
for some
Cray,
reason, I thought she was steady.
Cray and Morten Ebro were.
Yeah,
but yeah.
But she's really good. I mean, there are some matchups that are kind of hard for her, but it's never. She's kind of like Epic Haley in the fact that she doesn't really have any bad matches.
Yeah, there's never a game where you're like, oh, I guess Morvana's just kind of loses to this.
Yeah,
that is not true. She's so crazy good. I love this crazy bitch. So the last thing that we've got for you is the Pure Blood Warp Wolf. This is kind of a throw in. There were a lot of people who play like will play triple Pure Bloods with P Morvana, which I think is crazy talk, but.
I don't see why.
I don't know why either. But Pure Blood's just really, really good. He's speed 6. He's mat 6. He's rat 5. He's defense 14. He's armor 17. His command is 7. That's actually important. He's got the big attraction to the pure blood is that he's got a PAL 14 magical spray attack. He's got 2 PAL 14 open fist claws. He's got 4 fury, and his threshold is 10, and he costs 9 points. His animus is really, really good. It says it's a Wraith Bane. It costs 2. It's range 6. It says target friendly faction models' weapons gain magic weapon and blessed. And that means that you ignore spell effects that add to a model's armor or defense. So the trick with Wraith Bane versus Primal is that if your opponent is using Defender's Ward, you're better off using Wraith Bane because you're going to ignore the Defender's Ward and you're not going to lose control of your beast on the next turn.
Yep.
Primal. Wraith Bane's just really, really nice against Cricks. If they've got some annoying incorporeal guys, you cast Wraith Bane. Wraith Bane's good against Iron Flesh. Wraith Bane's one of those, like, you're always glad that you had it in your list. Like, I think Pure Blood's one of the best specialist beasts.
He's utility.
Yeah, he's really just, you know, he's never really just kind of like a dead piece. Now, his controlled warping is a little bit different than the Stalker's controlled warping. He still has the warp strength, but he's got a spell ward, which says he cannot be targeted by spells. That includes your own spells, but if you use your order of activations correctly, that's not going to be an issue. And then he's got Ghostly. And Ghostly says, this model can advance through terrain and obstacles without penalty and can advance through obstructions if it has enough movement to move completely past them. This model cannot be targeted by free strikes. So he also has Leadership Warp Wolves that says, while in this model's command range, friendly Warp Wolf models can use Ghostly as if it were a controlled warping effect on their cards. So what makes that stupid is that you can Ghostly your Warp Wolf Stalker or one of your other Warp Wolves. And then suddenly they get to ignore free strikes and they get to act like they've got Pathfinder too. So a lot of times I will use the Ghostly to get the Pure Blood or a Feral Warp Wolf somewhere that your opponent's not really expecting.
Yeah, you can sprint them wherever you want.
And then finally, the Pure Blood's got regeneration for a D3, so you can force them to heal D3 points. So the Pure Blood is just kind of like a really, really nice support beast. He's not the premier caster killer that Stalker is. However, he's pretty good against infantry because of the spray 10, and he could set up assassinations that opponents aren't ready for.
I mean, he gives you Ghostly, yeah, which helps. I mean, he's a utility. I mean, he is a solid utility beast. You take him for that. He's got the spray. He's got the really nice utility animus. He lets your other Warp Wolves work for Ghostly, which is really useful.
And in a pinch, you primal him, you warp strength, and then you got some PAL 18.
I mean, he can do some work. So he's like, not a slouch, but he's not...
Yeah, he's no Stalker, he's no Feral, he's no Riphorn Satyr.
But he's not bad.
But yeah. And he's actually one of the few circle beasts that you take for their ranged attack.
Yep.
And that is like not true of...
He's one of the few sprays that circle has.
Yeah. Yeah, outside of like Black Cloud Wayfarer. Yep. So he's just a really awesome beast. Now, the thing is, like, he's got the same Warp Wolf disease that that they all have, is that they have a really nice high defense but a really low armor. So they got kind of like a glass jaw. I want to say he's got more boxes than the Stalker. He's got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26.
Two more boxes.
So so he can actually take a beating.
No, he can't.
No.
He has 26 boxes.
Yeah.
He can take
2 more points of beating the Stalker can.
That's not a beating. That's like a light breeze.
I know. It's like blast damage.
It's like that Kazakh woodsman looked at you bad.
It's like boxcar's blast damage. So, he's a pretty good utility beast. Now, like, who was it that was playing that triple list? It was one of the Milano boys. Corey always talked about triple Pure Blood.
I think that person is crazy. I don't
know. It might very well be crazy.
I don't know why you would run 3 of them. I don't know. I'm not seeing it.
There's a lot of sprays. It was with E. Morvana.
Okay.
I don't know. You just re-roll?
I guess.
Sure.
You just spray their caster to death because three boosted power 14.
You could just ghostly through all their stuff and
then spray.
Yeah, that might work.
Yeah.
But they could also just kill your purebloods really, really easily.
But yeah, then you could feet your inventory back.
But you spent 27 points on three purebloods.
But you have blood trackers.
We don't really
run blood trackers with her.
I think Reeves are better with Reeves are better with E Morvana.
The Reeve package and Warpborn Skinwalkers with UA.
Warpborn Skinwalkers is actually pretty good with her because
really, actually, honestly, nowadays I would say the Reeve package. So full Reeves, three werewolves, a Reeve hunter, a full at least one blood pact, one full Tharn blood pact. One, maybe two Moonhounds, some Gallows Groves. Just kind of fill out from there.
Shoot him to death.
Just run around and shoot him to death. Because you can, with Scales of Fate, the Moonhound.
You still play Shifting Stones. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
But you, the Scales of Fate and the Moonhound, the Reeves Waterfall is forever and always a thing now.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Because, the problem with a lot of the Circle stuff that wasn't played up until Emorvana was that it had low rat.
Yeah.
Like, the Reeves are rat 5.
They are.
I mean, they get the aiming bonus, sure, and they get combined range attack, but still, I mean, Reeves die in droves.
They do, which is nice for her imperishable conviction.
Yes. To get your life back, because you got, a kind of a yo-yo thing that goes
on. Yeah, I mean, one of the kind of classic lists for her is Wolves of Ouroboros, Skinwalkers, Two Stalkers, and a Gorax. And you just kind of charge into melee and murder things. That works just well. You can play pretty much whatever game you want to play with her.
Yeah.
Melee, range, she does it all.
She's definitely not a caster where you're kind of locked into one kind of playstyle.
No. I really want to take on a random side note about the Gallows Grove, I want to take an Axer and model him atop a chopped down Gallows Grove now.
That'd be fun.
For Anti-Arbor Day.
For Anti-Arbor Day. For Lumberjack Day.
For Brazilian Rainforest Day. All right, well, that's another episode of Rage Fit Recon in the bag. Next time we'll have
Rage Fit Recon.
Yeah, that's what we called it.
No,
Rage Quit. Refit Recon.
Rage Quit Recon. Because rage. Nathan can't talk anymore.
Recon.
All right, I'm so embarrassed. All right, but anyway, so it's for Rage Quit Recon. I'm Nathan.
I'm Evan.
I'm Dennis.
We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Rage Quit Recon, a Rage Quit Radio podcast. For information on this and all the other great RQR podcasts, visit our website at ragequitradio.blogspot.com.